running on about 3 hours of sleep.
3 hours?
But I feel good.
How do you do that?
I think I do best on it, honestly. I think I do best at about 6 hours of sleep. I remember last week I was real cranky, got too much sleep.
What does like the rest of your day feel like when you get there? Because to me, when I don't get enough sleep, I dread that moment in my day when I know I'm going to be... It's such a strange tired. It's like a fatigue in the eyes. It's like
and in the brain.
Yeah.
An irritability.
Yes. It's just like a dryness. I feel like it dries out my eyeballs.
Huh. No, I don't have that.
You don't feel that?
Not unless I'm going to the airport, which I did today, actually, but not to fly.
That's kind of like the opposite of what one does in one's day.
I know. I woke up, I joined the pre-check.
Okay.
Today. So for $85 and a quick visit to the airport, I'll never have to take off my shoes again. Not in life, but at the airport.
That's a pretty good deal.
I think it's a great bargain.
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody it was like, hey, for $85, you never have to take your shoes at the airport off. Shoes off. That's what happens when I can't. When I don't get enough sleep, I can't talk properly. But
I just want to be like, well, how about just no one takes their shoes off and we think of a better system?
Yeah, well, no, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
But that would cost more than $85. Yes, it is a little bit of a scam, though. They're getting $85 off people.
It totally is, man.
For what?
It's like the net neutrality thing. It's like the compressing or the taking away of the ability that used to be there and then charging for it again.
Sure.
Which is like any kind of thing that's happened throughout history.
You have to take your shoes off unless you got $85.
Yeah.
I think the $85 is like a processing, so they, you know, scan your background. I don't know.
No.
I got cleared to the White House. I'm guessing I'm going to get cleared for a pre-check. I certainly hope so.
Can't you go there with that? Can't you be like, oh, here's my White House M&Ms. I'm just going to waive the $85 fee.
I don't believe so. First of all, I sent those to my mom. Second of all, I don't think so.
What about you picturing you and Barack?
It's really foggy. One of us is always out of focus. We were never that close to each other.
Huh.
I was wearing a stupid jacket.
What if you came there in the stupid jacket, picture of Barack, and you stare back?
No, the stupid jacket was why you can barely see me in the picture. In the Oval Office picture, I'm like hiding in the back. It's one of those things, you're like, what do you wear to the White House? I had this, seersucker, blue, is that what it's called when you have blue and white stripes?
Yeah, I think it's like usually a white thing.
Ugh, I looked like Howdy Doody, like it was
were
terrible.
You selling telegrams?
Yeah, it was awful. I looked like Dick Van Dyke. anyway, welcome to the podcast. That's the music.
Oh, gosh.
I caught you off guard. Ba-da-da-ba-ba, it's intro music for a nice Peter podcast. Nice Peter podcast. So the reason I got only 3 hours of sleep last night is because I was all revved up from the practice last night.
That was a really good practice.
It was a really good practice.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It was work.
We were grinding, I'd say that word comes into play.
Well, first, I think we did it right. We jammed for like an hour and a half with Zach.
Yes.
Who's an amazing freestyle artist. Jeez. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Good Lord.
Just kept going.
To me, Zach was always a writer. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically in his rap, I thought he was very meticulous about his writing.
Yes.
He took a lot of time to find wordplay. To watch, this is Zach Sherwin, who played Einstein and Sherlock Holmes, Scrooge.
Scrooge, as well as...
Stephen King.
Stephen King and Dr. Brown.
Wow. Okay, yeah, he's been a lot now.
Yeah.
So last night, Zach was over. We had a writing session all day. So from about 1 until 8, we were just grinding on this particularly difficult rap battle that's coming up.
Yeah.
Don't want to tell you what it is. It's got... several characters.
A lot of moving parts.
And a lot of complex, kind of boring. Some of the stories are boring. So we had to find what's interesting, bring them all together. So we're sitting there grinding. And then at about 8, we start jamming.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach just freestyles for like an hour.
Yeah. He's like, I got to go. And then an hour later, he's still freestyling with us.
Some, you know.
So it happens.
Yeah.
You get sucked. It's a vortex of jamming.
When there's music inside you, it's like... It's almost one of the main impulses. It's like food, sex, and music.
Yeah, it's feeling.
If you're leaving a party and some girl's like, hey, can you stay and make out with me? You're like, yeah, all right. And if you're a musician and somebody's like, hey, man, you want to?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah. So Zach just went off last night. It was really something.
Yeah.
So then we started, grinding.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on three rap battles. What was the three we were really hitting?
Oh, we were hitting Grimes versus Walter White.
Yeah.
the tinge nurdles
and the Russians.
The Russians.
And really working it out, like who's gonna say what word. So we could do like TMNT. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It was great.
And a lot of literally going TMNT, TMNT, TMNT. We had a few different versions of that.
But it's worth it.
It was. No, totally. I get it. It was cool. Part of it's frustrating because like you're like, I just want to jam and like say things and feel good.
Right.
And then it's like, no, but if we want to sound tight, we have to kind of figure out who's going to say it at what point and rehearse that and make sure we nail it. So.
And once that's in your bones, then. Oh, that's the great thing about music. Practicing, man. It really is.
Yeah, it can be if you find a way to do it that's pleasurable, it's not a – it just doesn't suck.
See, I'm addicted to the improvement.
Yeah.
You practice it once, it gets a little better. You practice it twice. Mm-hmm. What scares me is those times when it's like, that was worse than it's been all night. Those, when you do a take or whatever, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just time backwards. For a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I got home and I finished my Jim Henson book.
Mm-hmm.
So my girlfriend slept in the other room just because I was coming home so late. Yeah. She had to get up early. So it was me and the cats in the bed, 4 a.m., openly weeping. I was just, because I got to the end of Jim Henson. He passed away. It was very sudden. And it talked about his funeral. Big Bird was there. I mean, can you imagine being at Big Bird? It was at Jim Henson's funeral. Walked through the, you know, church or whatever it was and sang It Ain't Easy Being Green.
After wow, Jim yeah, Henson. That makes me feel something right now.
Oh. Yeah. And I both cats just in deep loving spoon. And it took a lot of restraint for me not to wake up, you know, go hug my girlfriend, call you, call all my friends, be like, I love you guys. Like, life is so short. It was one, like, you know, rare bacterial infection. And in a week, he was gone.
Yeah.
And man, whew. So, yeah, and reading, he wrote these letters to his kids in the 80s, just in case anything happened to him, and left them with his lawyer. And so when he did pass away, there were these letters. They're like, hey, this is, it's your dad. I'm writing these letters. It's kind of weird, but in case anything ever happens to me, you'll get these. And the last thing he said, I should have brought it over. It was like, you know, love each other, forgive each other always, and enjoy life. Have fun, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it seems to always come back to that.
Sure.
And somehow we always, like, just miss it for a little bit. And you got to do stuff, read about Jim Henson, and come back to it.
It definitely got me inspired to keep working. I always thought he kind of worked himself almost to death.
And wasn't that kind of because he got some kind of pneumonia? Is that right?
That's not what I got from this book.
Mm-hmm.
I got more that he loved his work. Mm-hmm. He lived for his work more than he worked himself to death. But it was intense.
Yes, it's a really beautiful story. I mean, we're all going to go out. It's just a matter of what time. And if you're going to go out and Big Bird's going to be at your funeral, you did well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lawnmower in the back.
The leaf blowers.
Yeah. Oh, leaf. Have we talked about that already? Leaf blowing where you have the neighbors that just blow.
Yeah, we have our gardeners and then next door where there's gardeners. And it's like one day they blow the leaves on that property. The other day they blow the leaves back on our property.
Yeah, he's right in the back. This is going to be noisy. Maybe you can't hear it in the microphones. Who knows?
They probably can.
Probably can.
But we can go through this. Hey, leaf blowers are a part of life, especially in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles? What's that?
Gas-powered leaf blowers in Los Angeles are technically illegal.
Really?
Yeah, then why is everyone using them?
I don't know.
So we're just hearing from Derek that gas-powered leaf blowers in Los Angeles are technically illegal, which they should be. They're noise, dust, dirt machines that do nothing.
Yeah.
They're the dumbest
thing. Just move things around. Why can't people use rakes? I get it. It is longer and more arduous, but I think it's a neater job.
It does something.
Yeah.
Leaf blowing does nothing.
Yep.
This is going to be a long
podcast. This is going to be a long podcast.
It's going to be tough. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Because this is very noisy, and we'll be back when the noise goes away. We're back. I got a little hair in my mouth. Did some emails. The jet engine sound is gone.
For now.
Man, it's cranking time.
Yeah, man, we're in the thick of it.
That's maybe why I also can't sleep and don't need to sleep, is it's just like every moment there's like, all right, gotta do that.
Mm-hmm.
Filming is around the corner.
Yep.
Rhett and Link are coming to the studio next week.
Yeah. Though I feel like we're kind of ready for them.
We're ready for Rhett and Link.
Yeah.
Rhett and Link are going to be in a rap battle, probably the mid-season debut.
Yes.
Very excited to have them again. Their new space, I went out. I was on their Ear Biscuits program.
Ear Biscuits.
Song Biscuits, actually.
Okay, yeah.
So I did Ear Biscuits a long time ago. Very intimate conversation. dangerous.
Dangerously intimate?
Yeah, because you forget that there's a lot of people going to listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just sitting there talking to Rhett and Link.
Yeah.
And they are soothing guys.
Yes, they are.
And I really let my guard down. I remember. But then I got a lot of positive feedback about it.
Huh.
I'm trying to let my guard down more often, man.
You gotta.
Well, I don't know. See, my internal guard is very different from what I'd like to present. If I said everything I thought, I had this argument. My girlfriend's coming up a lot today. Maybe we should talk about her.
Yeah, sure.
I had this conversation. She was, you know, she wanted, we talked about honesty and how important that is. And I was like, you know, I do think it's important, but there's a level where it's like, if I'm completely honest and said everything that I'm thinking, I wouldn't even be like, I don't even agree with some of these thoughts.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's because I write insults for a living. Who knows what it is, but sometimes a situation will happen, and if I literally was just like, you're a fat asshole, you know, like, yeah, that's not appropriate. I just asked you where the juice was. Like,
yes.
But I have that thought. Is that dishonest if I censor that?
No, because I think you can, because first of all, them being a fat asshole isn't necessarily true.
Not at
it's
all.
It's just how you feel about them at that moment.
Which I don't even. I'm just saying those words dance in my head.
Yes. But I think therefore, you're not lying to anyone if you decide to censor that.
That's restraint.
Because that's... it's not true.
Right.
And so you're still on the good side. But to like, I just understand the point of selective truth telling.
Yeah.
But outright lying doesn't really seem to work.
No. Lying, bad.
Yeah.
Lying, bad. But I admire those people who are so like, this is what I am. Don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I've never been that kind of person. I don't think I ever could be. I do care.
Yeah. Yeah, and so and I get that.
I care what you think and how you feel.
Yes.
And if you feel uncomfortable and I feel that, I'm going to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
If you...
That's the kind of person you are. People are like that. And
is that shapeshiftery? Is that psychopathic or is that just
I think that's how
friendliness?
You were... Yeah, I think you were born... I'm the same way, man. I'm a pleaser. I want to make sure I'm on your good side.
Right.
For the most part, I don't like confrontation or...
Right.
Having that kind of weird thing between people. So I will bend over to please. But it comes a point where...
I wouldn't put it that way. But.
Well...
But you know what that means, right?
Bend over backwards, excuse me, to please. I just couldn't go... when I do find that confrontation, I kind of back out.
It's no good.
It's like, I don't want to deal with you anymore.
You know who didn't like confrontation?
Who?
Jim Henson.
Okay. I can see that.
Maybe to a fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reading about his negotiations with Disney. It's a very, very interesting story. Went differently than I expected. He was super jazzed to sell the Muppets to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And when those negotiations started years ago, he was like, this is going to be everything. This is going to be perfect. And then just over the course of like a year of dealing with lawyers and stuff, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And then he passed away before it was ever signed.
Yikes.
So it took another 10 years for the Muppets to actually become a Disney thing. I guess it got weird. Lawyers, yeah. Man.
I feel like they can insert confrontation sometimes.
Lawyers?
When there doesn't need to be any.
They get paid way more, yeah, when you're arguing.
Absolutely.
If you're getting along, lawyers like, well, I'm not really needed here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do wonder, man. I wonder how much it matters. Because no matter what the contract says, people break them all the time.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of how much you pay your lawyers later to get out of it.
Yeah.
And people go back on their word. People like... It just becomes an endless spiral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But everyone says you need one when you're dealing with stuff like this and contracts and creativity.
You know who definitely says you need one? Lawyers.
Lawyers.
Yeah. I've got a good lawyer. I like my lawyer. He's a nice man.
That's great. I mean, you got to feel like the person who is representing you has a soul inside there somewhere. Like,
yeah.
You can... go out to lunch with them and not feel like they are a psychopath.
Yeah, I've never gone out to lunch with him. He's a very busy man.
Okay.
But he takes time to talk. But what I appreciate the most about my lawyer is be like, yeah, he's being a jerk, but, you know, it's the best we can do. I like that. I like when he says, like, this whatever side is, this guy's being a dick, but we got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that kind of advice.
Huh. I feel like, too, have you known anyone who's become a lawyer?
Oh, yeah. My best friend in college became a lawyer.
Okay, so...
And both my parents.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can... But I guess with the parents, you don't have the same perspective. But seeing your friend grow up and then become a lawyer, does it give you any more insight as to the insides of a lawyer?
He was a lawyer from the moment I met him.
Okay.
We argued that was our pastime. Yeah. It actually, there were three of us that were great friends, and the third guy eventually ended up not being able to tolerate being around us anymore. It was one day, kind of hurt my feelings, but I got it. I get it. And yeah. In retrospect, I'm like, all right, I get it. He was like, I just can't hang around you anymore. Yeah. You know, and I was like, all right. But we just argued about everything. I loved it.
Yeah.
In my house, everything was kind of up for debate. Mm-hmm. There was not, my parents were strict, but.
Were you making deals?
You could always make deals. You could always plead your case.
Wow, this makes so much sense.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing is set in stone. It's like, hey, you know, I think I should be able to do this because of this. I wouldn't always get my way, but I was always encouraged to try.
Yeah.
To convince.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you were.
Is that enlightening?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, you know.
I mean, I kind of knew that, and I always forget it. But then when you hear it again, it's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a lawyer child.
Yeah. That's cool, though, man.
I mean, lawyers. I like the law because, well, no. I like the, yeah, it's
not as solid as people like to believe it is. We create it as we go.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's kind of nonsense, really.
It totally is.
It's ridiculous.
It's an agreement. Based on some words that can be wiped away later.
Depending on how much you go into it with. Like O.J. Simpson totally probably murdered somebody.
Yeah, and they're able to
spend
that.
That's commonly accepted, right? Is that the common consensus?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not he did or not.
Yeah.
But it certainly looked a lot more like he murdered somebody than a lot of people who have actually gone to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who went to jail for 26 years for murdering somebody and then got exonerated.
I think I heard that. Reddit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Reddit can really ruin your day if you're not
careful.
Sure
can.
You went off on some stuff the other day.
I did. I don't know if you want to get into
that. I don't want to talk about it here.
Yeah.
There was a sexual abuse scandal network of like, it was a dark, scary.
Dark, scary things.
And when you go into it, it's like, wait, is this real?
Yeah.
Or it matters, but. Do I have anything better to do than to worry about it? Or should I just think about this?
Yeah. It sucked one day for me. 1.5 days, I'd say.
It allows you to use the word cabal, which is nice.
Sure.
It's not. I only use that word when I'm discussing weird underground sexual abuse rings and Mortal Kombat 3. There was a character named Cabal.
Hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably didn't run a sexual ring, hopefully.
Probably not. That, is that what cabal means? What's the definition of cabal?
I don't know. I'm just
Derek, can you look up cabal
correctly?
I think it means like an like underground bad thing.
Yeah. You think they know they're bad? They don't call themselves cabal.
The guys running the sexual abuse ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're a cabal now.
Oh, I don't know if they refer to themselves as a cabal.
Like, you don't think the mafia refers to themselves as the mafia?
I think they do. I think they invented the word.
Okay. Never mind then.
He's a mafioso. I don't know.
I think they're legitimate businessmen, and then we kind of call them mafia.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about the mafia. Mafia? That is what happens when I don't get enough sleep. Words come out poorly.
Yeah, well, that's my life.
I say things like mafia.
So Reddit, dark places, you don't have to go all the way down them. But isn't it kind of good to know?
No. Like, when was the last time you looked at Reddit and felt better afterwards? I either end up on some police brutality thing or some tragedy or some
but
government.
But is it better to not know about it at all? Is it better to pretend that it's not happening? I guess it's the same thing with 24-cycle news. You don't need it. We don't need to know all these things are going on
at
all times.
I think it's bad for
us. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Reddit is another form of that if you want it to be. However, no, but TV is the same way. It's selective viewing. You don't have to watch the television.
That's why I'm on my iTunes, dog.
Yeah, dude, music changes your life. Music, when I start listening to music again, my life is just dramatically better.
You know that's what we're missing on this podcast, right? I'm waiting for somebody to say it or to see it in a comment and me realize it and be like, oh yeah, you're right. We're two musicians and we sit here and we blah, blah, blah all day. We don't play any music.
Yeah. Well, we'll factor that in the next podcast.
Yeah. Maybe. The truth is, the podcast is something we're doing. Something I like doing because it doesn't take a lot of preparation. We can just sit here. It's Thursday morning.
Yeah.
We roll in. We talk.
Yeah.
And music takes work.
For sure.
Even casually.
I think, but we're not just, we are talking, but we're trying to talk with a point of inspiring, with a point of like give me some perspective, people who looking at what we do.
Sure.
What goes into that, get an inside peek on the brains.
If there's two things I can inspire someone, if one person out there, buy a Kindle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's the most amazing device ever made. Not one of those bullshitty ones with the screens you watch movies on. That's an iPad. That's just a lousy iPad.
Yeah.
A Kindle that is with the e-ink that looks like a book, feels like a book. They have one that lights up from within, so you don't need to bother if you're sleeping next to someone. You don't need to turn on a light. You can read it in the dark. And you have access to the entire wealth of human literature.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. That's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. There's like little books on everybody. I use my Kindle religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge part of the rap battles because I'm constantly reading about people. Derek asked if I read a lot of biographies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the one about Alexander the Great. That was the most boring thing I've ever read. Oh, God.
Cabal is a secret political clique or faction.
Cabal is a secret political clique or...
It works.
Sounds right.
It's spelled different than Mortal Kombat
Cabal. Mortal Kombat Cabal is with a K.
Yeah.
And this Cabal is with a C.
There
much
we go.
More menacing word. So buy a Kindle if you're out there. Yeah. Just get one. Get one of the paper white ones. It'll change your life. And people say things like, oh, I like the way books smell. You can tape a book under your nose while you read everything that's ever written. The point is you get inspired by something. You hear about Cabal, and you can go look it up, and you can read a book about who invented Mortal Kombat. You'd be surprised. There's books about everything.
What I like about a Kindle is being able to, when you come across a word you don't know, you just scroll up to it, click it, and boom, it's right there, a definition. You're like, and it took like just 2 seconds.
Yeah, and in the touchscreen version, you just press the word.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
You just press the word, and it shows you what the word means. You can read a book, because there's a lot of books that use words that are...
I have no idea. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. And you either blow through, because who's going to grab a dictionary?
Many times I've blown through most books without researching any of the words I didn't understand.
Exactly. I think we stop learning words at a certain part in school, and then we're like, oh, those are all the words I know.
Yeah.
In comes the Kindle.
Yeah.
Allows you to learn at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
So buy a Kindle and then download the Jim Henson biography. It was an inspiring book,
man. I'm going to have to read it now.
It's so good. It flies.
One bad thing about the Kindle.
All right.
I don't know if you feel the same way.
All right.
I often download too many books.
Sure.
I will read 7 at a time.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't finish any of them.
That's okay, though.
Except for...
You started 7 books, and I love putting down books.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
If a book is no longer interesting to you, put it down.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like books are like friendships. Just toss them into the wind.
Yeah. And you come back to them when
you need
them.
That was a joke. I thought you were going to laugh. Thought you were going to laugh at that and be like, you took a dead serious. Like, yeah.
I'm still on about my Kindle problems.
You got Kindle issues?
Yeah. I don't have an issue with the Kindle. It's just, I suppose the problem's with me. I wish I would finish some of the books I started.
If they don't hold you, they don't hold you. Yeah. I bought Lloyd a Kindle. I don't know if he ever has used it.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
There's many things I hope Lloyd, picks up.
Like bananas?
Bananas, tomatoes, Kindles.
I don't think he'll ever touch a banana.
But right now he's picked up a saxophone, and that's awesome.
Ugh.
That's the dream. That's going into it.
It's such a joy to watch Lloyd rediscover his saxophone passion. So we've been having all these rehearsals, and in between rap battles, we'll just start rocking out. Because Dante's on keyboards, Choco is playing the beats, and then I'm on bass and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So we've stripped down the beats for a few of the songs. So it's just drums. Dante does the keyboard parts. I do like a bass or guitar part. And so we'll start like, boom, and Lloyd will just kind of stand there, you know?
Yeah.
And he'll either freestyle for a little bit, or he'll feel a little like, doo-ba-doo. So he finally got himself a saxophone and started jamming with us. And it's been great.
It's going to be great.
I think he thinks he has to be great to play it on stage. And the truth is, he's great. Mm-hmm. So when he plays a saxophone on stage, it's just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I should keep it a surprise.
But it's like everything else. When you you're trying hard, you're going to suck at it.
Yeah.
And then that's part of it.
You're going to break through.
But eventually he's going to come
to
the point.
He doesn't even suck at it.
Yeah, exactly. But he's going to feel better. He's going to get through all the weird notes he's relearning right now. And then it's just going to be great.
And I love – he went with the tenor model. The Kenny
– soprano.
That's a soprano?
I believe so.
It's the Kenny G version
of the
saxophone.
Soprano.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's and he's got two now.
He's a regular horn section. I wouldn't expect that one, though.
The straight one?
Yeah, he doesn't surprise me. I don't take him for it.
It took me by surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Kenny G look was good.
Yeah.
But he rocks it.
Yeah, he does.
He's rocking it. It's very exciting. Music is. Maybe that's, if you're not going to buy a Kindle, you should pick up an instrument. if you don't already play one. And if you play one, get it back out. Like,
yeah.
Like people who, you know, I just started trying to play the bass again.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
You can improve.
Oh,
you
my
will
God.
Improve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vocabulary, music, just takes a little bit.
Yes, it does.
Your fingers learn it. Your body learns it. You feel it inside. I like being able to whisper on the microphone.
I like sucking and then breaking through the suck. It's a really good feeling. Like I'm gonna stop talking about bending over and sucking, because all of this is meant to be
inspirational
things that don't involve. The point is, you work through things.
Yes,
and that's the point. Okay.
Yes, you relax. You
open up.
You just work through things. There are, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things going on. I'm not even sure what to talk about. I think my mind is a little pulled in four different rap battles at once.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Kindle.
It's kind of like the Kindle. I'm done with all the books. I got a couple more books to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good, man. It's one of the joys about working on this project is I do get to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Learning it's great.
Yeah.
Learning about people who did stuff and seeing that they struggled with their own things. Like Jim Henson started to get pulled in a bunch of different directions and was spending more and more time on the administrative side and less time being creative.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you're like, oh, wow. And even seeing the parallel of my own, like Jim Henson was an amazing puppeteer. He started to get more interested in directing and doing all this kind of stuff and spent less time being a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And I feel myself tempted towards that same thing. Like instead of rapping or performing on camera, I'm like, ooh, I want to direct or do something cool. And then I forget what got me there in the first place.
Yeah.
Was performing.
Things that happens to every actor.
I know, man.
Yeah.
It's weird. I want to go back to my roots.
Yeah. Start thinking you can produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also start having to produce.
Yes,
like,
I suppose like
you,
so.
You want to do more and more things. You gotta do it.
Yeah,
you can't expect anyone to care in the same way that you're going to.
Yes,
but hopefully you can inspire people to care with you.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the part that always scared me.
What do you mean?
When I thought about like having to lead a band, any time that I didn't lead a band,
sure,
it was like that having to round people up to care about it. And I suppose. I don't know. I just didn't feel the same way at the time, so it was harder for me to round up everyone
because
I'm still figuring out myself if I truly believe in this.
Right.
Yeah, so it's difficult.
I think definitely truly believing in yourself will attract people.
Yeah.
You know, that's one other thing I learned from that Jim Henson book is he never doubted himself.
Yeah.
He was never worried about whether he was good enough or not. It was just, yeah, no, I'm good enough. I just got to work really, really, really hard and collaborate with people. And it's beautiful to see he worked with people for 30 years, 40 years.
When was he just starting,
In the 60s.
How old was he then?
I think he got on TV when he was like 16 or 17.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was running puppets when he was 16, 17.
Yeah, he really liked puppets from the beginning?
No, he didn't like puppets. He didn't like puppets for the longest time. He kept trying to get away from puppets. And he's just, you know, the puppets work.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I ordered a bunch of puppets?
You did.
So
I think you told everyone else, though.
I don't know if I did. So, you know, I don't know. Jim Henson's obviously becoming an important part of my life for one reason or another. So I'm diving into his world as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's going to be in a rap battle, I am not privy to say. But maybe I'm trying to find out as much about him as possible.
In case he needs to come in.
In case. And so I thought the next logical step would be to learn how to be a puppeteer. And learn what it feels like to communicate through something on your hand. And I didn't want to do it by myself, so I ordered like 8 puppets.
So he's forcing all of us to become puppeteers.
Yeah, so everyone around here is going to have to learn. Derek, are you ready to learn how to operate a puppet? So I got a bunch of funny ones. I found when you go out into the world of puppeting, it is a unique, unique world. And I'm going to try and learn how to do it. I used to have the Ask a Giraffe bit.
They're great, yeah, yeah. And also that guy with the hood.
The little pink guy?
Pink guy.
Yeah, I can't find him. But I got some funny looking puppets coming.
Yeah.
I keep checking the mailbox every day to see when they come. I'm really excited. And, I think I'm just gonna just keep practicing, you know?
Yeah.
And I ordered a Kermit. There was a woman in Latvia makes one by hand.
That's so cool. Are they all coming from Latvia?
No, just the Kermit.
Okay.
The other ones are coming from here in the States.
Somewhere. Now, why a Latvian Kermit?
Don't know. It was I was looking for a authentic Kermit the Frog puppet.
Okay.
One that was made to the original, like handmade, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was a woman in Latvia who did it. And there's something called the Henson stitch, which is some specific way that he sewed his puppets. And she mentioned that in her eBay listing. She was like, I use the Henson stitch. And that's when I knew. I was like, I'm going to order this puppet.
Wow.
So there's a full-size Kermit the Frog coming in the mail one of these days. And I'm going to freak out. Just to see it.
Yeah.
Just to have it and then be able to work with it. I feel like I'll be able to understand what walking in Jim Henson's shoes feels like all that much more. In fact, I don't know if you could understand what it feels like without working it, you know, mm-hmm. working a Kermit the Frog puppet. I couldn't have played Steve Jobs if I wasn't super into Apple computers.
Yeah, you got to know everything about it if you're going to take that role.
You got to know why you love it.
Yeah.
Why do you love this clean silver line, this perfect phone? Mm-hmm. Dante doesn't have an iPhone.
It's a great phone. It's beautiful technology. There's just other options out there, and I'm not a sheeple. Not one of the sheeple.
Anyway, so getting the Kermit on is going to be, it's going to be life-changing. I'm really excited. But it's hard puppeting.
I can imagine.
First of all, you're looking at a monitor and everything's backwards.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a monitor, and when you turn left, your monitor image is going to turn right.
Ooh.
Right?
Can they fix that?
If you want to do it the authentic Muppets way, you don't.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure you can use some plug-in and just flop it.
All right.
But so, you know, you get there, mm-hmm. everything's going to be above your head.
Okay.
Now, if we were running like an Ernie,
okay,
I would be working the left hand, and you would be working his right hand.
Okay, so I got a little stick, though.
No, hit with your hand. So like Ralph the dog.
Yes.
Jim would be in the middle, running the mouth, the left hand on the piano, and then somebody else would be the right hand on the piano. And so
piano?
Ralph the dog played the piano.
Okay.
And when you watch it, it's in time to the music. It looks like he's playing the piano, and it's two dudes with different hands. And the Swedish chef will go to pick up something, and it's two dudes. Look, you and me, let's try and pick up this deck of cards with two hands, all right? And then let's try and take a card out.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. So if you obviously can't see this, but we're opening this deck of cards.
Okay.
Yeah. Feeble.
All right.
Trying to take with this. Barney Bird. It's really hard.
There we go.
So there. We might as well ask a question. Yeah. What lyrics from a song do you remember the most? This is one of the questions from our heart-to-heart conversation.
For some reason, Stairway to Heaven just popped in my brain.
Really?
Yeah.
She's hate that song.
Stairway to Heaven. Oh, I love it.
I don't like that song.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's just...
It's too long? Too epic for you?
Maybe. Truth is, I didn't like Led Zeppelin all of my youth. I was in my late 20s before I understood Led Zeppelin. And I know how lame that makes me.
Nah, it's all good. It happens.
I couldn't get into it. I just didn't like that voice, but now I do. Now I get it.
I was influenced at a very early age, 8th grade. My buddy told me about Led Zeppelin, showed me Led Zeppelin, and I was very, I guess, easily impressionable, and I respected his musical taste. So I think maybe I was like, but you know when you're in that age and just
You were a cooler rocking dude than I was.
But things just start, you're just like, yeah, I'll listen to that, and all of a sudden that becomes your taste.
Sure.
Because that's what was around.
Man, you honestly...
But I loved it. It's great.
You want to know what I was listening to in eighth grade?
What?
Nothing. I was taking apart computers and like working with motherboards. And probably the only album I ended up owning during that period was a Muppets album, believe it or not.
Okay.
I had this Kermit Unpigged album. And it was like, it was the Muppets doing a bunch of songs.
Okay.
I was the dorkiest dude, man. I had never picked up a guitar. I had a lame bowl cut.
I had a bowl cut too.
Yeah, but you have like a cool... Like,
but I used a skateboard instead of a computer.
Yeah, see, I couldn't ride a skateboard. You were a cooler rocking dude.
Maybe.
Yeah. It took me a long time to come out of the nerd shell.
This whole like lawyer background plus bowl cut plus computers, everything is making
Much
more sense.
Yeah. I used to... My father, law firm, they would get new computers, I think, every 2 years. And he would bring home one of the old machines for me to basically do whatever I wanted with it.
Yeah.
Because it was an older computer. So I would take them apart, put chips. Mm-hmm. And I set one on fire once. Small blue. I took a BIOS chip. So when you turn on a computer, the BIOS chip is what the computer reads to tell it to read software.
Okay.
So this is before hard drives. You know,
Whoa.
You fire up MS-DOS and you type in some stuff with a floppy. a floppy disk that's actually floppity. So there's a BIOS chip, and then I took a BIOS chip out of a 486 computer.
I'm listening. I'm interested.
And I put it in a 386 motherboard, and blue flames shot out of it when I turned it on.
That must have been awesome as a kid.
Awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
I mean, terrifying and then awesome. When I was like, you know.
How did you know how to do any of this? Does anyone teach you?
Some pre-internet.
Okay.
So I had some books, and I learned trial by fire. Once I set something on fire, I was like, oh, you can't put a 486 BIOS chip in a 386 motherboard. No.
That's awesome. Yeah, I guess that's what, how you do it.
My dad inspired me to not be afraid to take things apart.
Huh.
You know, and try to put them back together again. Yeah. I once took apart an alarm clock, and I found the wires that activated the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked them up to a fan because I figured maybe a more natural way to wake up in the morning would be a breeze blowing on your face.
That's incredible.
So I thought, you know, these wires could activate the on-off switch of the fan.
Yeah.
So when the alarm went off, instead of going, bah, bah, it would go like, you know, and wake you up with a gentle breeze.
Did it work?
No. I might have let it on fire. No, see, that's the thing. Not many of these things worked. But it was... I learned how it worked,
yeah,
kind of.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Hey, let's take a quick break.
You want to take a break?
Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about fires and technology.
I just went to pee, and I was thinking about eighth grade me.
Yeah.
I was a real idiot. I did some stupid stuff on the bus.
Stupid stuff on the bus. The same guy who can take apart computers and light things on fire?
Was an idiot on the bus.
Please explain.
Maybe because I didn't have any sort of rebellious outlet,
mm-hmm.
that natural, you know, early teenage desire to rebel against something.
Yes.
I was reading this thing that said that pubescent boys stink and get grody.
They certainly do.
As a biological function to distance their selves from their mother and break that bond and become a man. That in the olden days, you know, the kid would get to a certain age and it'd be like, all right, you don't hang out with your mom anymore.
Because you stink
and you're dirty. You go hang out with the stinky, dirty men in the woods or whatever, you know, you chop wood.
Yeah.
And that's a natural bond severing. And that because we don't do that, there's a lot of tension between young boys and women. This book was amazing. It talked about how young boys, you know, they're with their mother a lot, and then they go to a school where a lot of their teachers are women.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this strange trying to please women thing.
Totally, yep.
That can either end up hurting the man or end up making him resentful.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, his relationship with women is not what it's supposed to
be. Yeah, equal.
Yeah, because he didn't break his bond with his mother the appropriate way.
Yeah.
By embracing his stinkiness.
Huh.
It was an interesting theory. I remember being on the bus in ninth grade, and we would – I don't know what our bus driver was doing, but we would throw things off the bus, like at people.
Out the windows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it started with like a breadstick. Somebody threw like a Domino's breadstick at someone.
Take that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever seen anyone get hit by a breadstick by surprise, but it is hilarious when you're ninth grader. So it was like, bip, stupid kids. And then it got – you know, the ante got up. Somebody started chucking markers.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time we threw a bottle at a pickup truck.
Glass
bottle at a pickup truck and broke the rear windshield of the pickup truck.
Need new friends, my friend.
I know.
Unless that was you leading the charge.
I was not leading the charge, but I was definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
It is something every time I think about it, I feel guilty and stupid. Some nice person came to their pickup truck and found their back windshield broken. And it was me and my stupid bus friends responsible.
Ugh, yeah, I know, yeah.
And I can't believe that I'm that person, that I'm the same person. If I saw myself doing that, I would pull myself off the bus and kick the crap out of myself.
Yeah.
And that's myself. It's very weird.
I think maybe because you had no idea or perception of private property. That's like kind of vague maybe. To you. I mean, you know, like your toys or whatever. You're right. Like owning a car.
Didn't know.
Like stupid a car, adult
yeah,
things.
Pickup trucks, yeah. Not me.
Yeah. Your stupid sidewalk, stupid yard.
Yeah.
Stupid mailbox.
Yeah. Yeah. Snowballs at cars?
Yeah.
If somebody hit me with a snowball now while I was driving, I'd be irate because of how dangerous, stupid, selfish. And I used to sit there and throw snowballs at cars thinking like...
I did too.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's not hilarious. It's incredibly dangerous.
It's super dangerous.
Ugh.
I found a bunch of old Easter eggs that were kept around for posterity.
Thought of old Easter eggs gave me the shivers.
Totally. I get it. They didn't smell or anything. But so they're kept somewhere. They didn't smell, but they were old Easter eggs, dyed, etc.
Sure.
Apparently they're family heirlooms of some sort. I didn't know about this.
They were full of egg?
Yes, as we turn out, like you break it open and it was like a rubber band ball almost inside. So that yolk turned into some kind of rubber band ball. It's the only way I can describe it. It's like a spongy.
Okay.
Center,
all right.
Rocks around.
All right.
We would throw them through this clearing. I lived on a hill.
Okay.
And the cars would go down the steep part of the hill. And if you time it just right,
you could loft it.
Boom.
On the windshield.
Oh, it was incredible.
So you not only destroyed a fairly...
family heirloom.
Well, first of all, your family keeps eggs. That's weird. You destroyed them, and you threw them on people's windshields.
Yeah. All the things that, now in retrospect, are incredibly stupid and selfish.
What a jerk we were.
Yeah.
You know? And it makes me, you know, I want to have kids. How do you talk to your 12-year-old?
They're going to do it.
Well, maybe, but my parents never were like, hey, look, I know you're going to be stupid. I was stupid. Let's talk about this. Before you do something you regret. Is anybody pressuring you to do anything stupid? You know, let's talk about this without judgment. I didn't have that.
Interesting. Yeah, me neither, though.
So I don't know going into it now, if I have a 13-year-old, like, I know you're doing stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, because you are probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be out in the open. I'm just lucky. I got caught stealing. That was the stupidest thing that happened to me. I don't know if I told you this already.
No.
I got caught stealing a cassette single.
Oof, what was it?
Prince, All Seven.
That's tough.
All seven, and we watched them fall. Standing away, loving me. So I stole it from a department store, and I got caught on camera from like four different angles, and I was with my dad. Mm. It was the worst. It was so, it was a cassette single.
Yeah.
So obviously it was in the 1950s that this happened. And it was just I didn't need it. I was just stealing stuff to see if I'd get away with it. First thing I ever stole was a pair of troll earrings. What the F do I need with a pair of troll earrings? I didn't even know any girls.
Do you think it was the situation that appealed to you to steal it?
Again, I think...
You know, like no one's around.
I was too nerdy to have healthy rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it all got suppressed and then funneled through these... distinctly stupid channels. So it wasn't like I was constantly acting up. I was like doing nerdy stuff and practicing my magic tricks.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, you know, I'm going to see if I can steal this klutz book.
It's a rush.
It's a rush. Yeah, I was too afraid to steal things.
I stole pH paper from the science lab at school. And then I stole lemons from a store so I could test the pH paper that I stole. What's the point of any of that? I know the pH of lemons. But that could have been, like, I could have gotten suspended for stealing shit from the science lab.
Yeah.
And I could have gotten, like, who knows?
Yeah. But you were stealing fairly harmless things.
Yeah, but theft.
Yeah,
it's like a local neighborhood store. I'm stealing citrus. What a jerk.
Yeah. But do you recall a rush?
No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I'd never steal anything. I haven't stolen a thing since I got caught. I was so grateful I got caught the way I did.
Yeah. Did your dad like really give it to you? Or?
My dad gave me the, I'm so disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Just, it was the, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't get mad outwardly. He got mad inwardly. Yeah. And then he didn't tell my mother. And so that was hung over me for like 16 years.
Were you always wondering, like, when she was going to
know?
Yeah,
she found out. She found a bill or something from the department store. Found out. She wasn't happy with either of us. But, yeah, it's amazing. We do stupid stuff when we're young. And if we're lucky, we come out of it with only lessons and not police records.
Yes. And in some cases, police records, too.
Some cases, police records, which would have prevented me from getting my pre-check clearance this morning. Yeah. I would have been pissed.
Unless you're under the age of 18, which would have been wiped out by accelerated rehabilitation.
I was definitely under the age of 18.
Yeah. So what's worse, the things you did as a kid or the things you did as a drunk adult?
The things I did as a kid were much worse than things I did as a drunk adult. Although really? I think there is some similarity between a drunk adult and a child. But the things I did as a drunk adult, except for that one time I like said horrible mean things to everyone I used to work with after I got fired during a concert in my underwear. The things I did as an adult, I can look back and funny. Like the time I ended up butt naked on stage and the manager, after I made fun of him for an hour, had to come up and give me a $200 bonus because they had done really well at the bar. So he handed me $200 in cash while I was fully nude, genitals covered by a guitar, after I'd been making fun of him just out loud for an hour. He was like, here's your bonus. Idiot. Those things I can look back at and pride, you know? That's funny to me. Yeah. Nobody got hurt. Except for me and the manager's feelings. He started it. He did. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess we just keep learning, you know?
Sure do.
If I had one goal, it was to be less stupid than I was yesterday.
That's good. That's a good goal to have. Huh. Yeah, like Neil deGrasse Tyson to quote, I believe, is to learn something new every day and try to leave the world better than you found it every day.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Pick up a paper plate, you know? Pick up a napkin.
And learn a new word. Look it up on your Kindle when you come across it. Instead of just breezing by it.
I had this idea. I'm probably going to do it. Feels like something that would feel good. There's a like a special ed school nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And I see these, like, you know, 30-something people walking with a group of disabled youth, mm-hmm. of like 25 kids with special needs. And that's an important job.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken these kids who've got all kinds of issues for walks around the neighborhood. I just want to go up to them around Christmas with just a thank you card that has like $100 in it.
Yeah.
And not just be like, hey, you know, you're making the world better. Thank you.
Yeah.
And just walk away. I don't know if that's weird. Why don't I just actually do something to help youth, especially needs youth? But it's also, I think it's important to like recognize the people who you see doing things that are making the world better.
Yes.
And just saying thank you.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't need
the proper recognition they deserve.
I also want to give a Christmas card to the guy who found my wallet at a gas station.
Oh, do you know the gas station?
I do. Still? Yeah.
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 That's great.
He found my wallet like 2 days before I was supposed to fly, mm-hmm. and had my driver's license. And he like held on to it for me. I went back. He was like, yeah, I've been waiting for you. It was amazing. Anyway.
But you haven't done it yet.
Haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
Right after Christmas, I have like this list of like gifts I have to give back because I'm not a good gift giver.
I'm not a good thank you card writer or gift giver.
Same here. And so like kind of wait for it until the breaking point, and then I have to start writing all these things down and mailing them out. It's tough. It's tough.
Let's leave today. Let's remind each other to do one of these things.
Yeah. Let's give a gift or a reminder or a thank you to someone who deserves it today.
That's inspiring.
Yeah.
That's a good place to leave.
Absolutely.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll see you next week, and go do something awesome or light something on fire. Whatever you do, don't throw bottles at trucks. Bye.
Get in the ocean. Let your body swim. You know the sharks can't get you. When you dive right in, there's a big wave coming. Let it carry you. You let your head tilt back to the sun. You're never alone when you're tired of running and you float.